It's time again for Midday on Media, our monthly visit with Baltimore Sun critic David Zurawiec. Today we get David's take on the rise of Fox News. Fox had more viewers than both cable and network news channels on election night. More than 6 million Americans chose Fox for coverage. What's behind the trend? And what do audiences want in television news coverage today? Plus, two Netflix stories. The Norwegian series Lillehammer is back for its third season. David Zurawiec says it might be the future of entertainment television. He'll tell us why. And Netflix has pulled the plug on Bill Cosby's comedy special in the wake of sexual assault allegations. Midday on Media with David Zurawiec after the news. And welcome back to Midday, our second hour. Time again for Midday on Media, which happens the third Wednesday of every month when David Zurawiec gets here safely. Hello, David. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Dan. I'm happy to be back. I love this.
David,
this is fun.
David Zurawiec, my colleague from the Baltimore Sun, who is the media critic there, Zeon TV blogger. And on the front page, I guess we call that a page, the front of the
homepage.
The homepage of the Baltimore Sun, of BaltimoreSun.com right now, with a Q&A with Mike Rowe.
Yeah, we did that a few weeks ago. Yeah.
Huh.
We did it. It's going to be in our Sunday print for the print subscribers. They'll see it Sunday in their glossy magazine, the magazine we come out with.
He's from around here.
He's from
his
here.
His parents still live here.
Yeah,
right?
His parents still live here. He went to Towson University.
Good guy.
He seems like a very good guy. He really does. He did the Dirty Job show on Discovery for a long time. I think it was canceled about 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half ago.
Right.
And now CNN picked him up in a show called Somebody's Got to Do It. And he picks a job. It's still Jobs. I think he's found a very smart niche of this.
Yep.
And, you know, he has a lot of other stuff going on people don't know about. I think it's called Mike Rowe Works, W-O-R-K-S. It's a website. And he really celebrates jobs that, you know, in our
working man, a woman.
Yes,
yep.
And our culture is really lost.
That's why
lost.
I think he's a good guy because he does that. And
I couldn't agree more.
Doesn't get much attention
for
that.
I couldn't agree more. I really couldn't.
By the way, he's working on a project to sort of, offset some of the negative images of Baltimore.
Yeah,
right?
he talked to me about this. At the time he talked to me for this piece, it was he wanted it off the record and then he blogged about it. So we put up a post, I think, back on November 6th about it. It's in there. It's related out of that thing. I think it's become kind of massively misunderstood. He has this show, Somebody's Got to Do It. He's talking to people back here. He said he was talking to Alan Charles' ad agency, mm-hmm. which he described as having a modest account from the city to try to do things to promote Baltimore's image in a positive way. The day before he talked to me, he said he was in a conversation with Alan. I didn't check this with Alan. I just talked to him because it wasn't relevant at the time. And that he was spitballing ideas around. And he thought, well, what about if I do a show that says somebody's got to do it, the guy who's got to try to get Baltimore a better image? It's a pretty good concept, but I don't think it's going to work for him. I think he kind of maybe ditched it too. And what he's going to do, I think, is he's going to do one show. He's going to come here for one of his shows. He's on every week on CNN. He's going to do a show about positive images of Baltimore, I think. You know, Federal Hill.
And he was looking for ideas.
He was looking for ideas from Baltimore, right. And that's why he blogged about it. So, you know, when you think about it, one show, one half hour on CNN, grain of sand in the in the beach of Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah.
But I like him. Yeah, I like
him. But I followed that a little bit on his Facebook page.
Yeah,
and
there's
all kinds of great things that people are mentioning there that he ought to look at, you know, just suggesting.
He's smart. It was a smart thing for him to go social media on that. I think that's very good. I think he's very good with social media.
Here's our agenda for the rest of Midday on Media. We're going to talk about Netflix, a couple of stories from Netflix, including the announcement that a special a comedy show of Bill Cosby celebrating his 77th birthday has been postponed following the resurfacing of sexual assault allegations against Bill Cosby. And then Also with Netflix, we want to talk about Lilyhammer. You had a really interesting piece about Lilyhammer, a show that I happen to like a lot.
Oh, good. I was under it was under my radar. I fell in love with it.
Oh, yeah. I love that show. Miami Steve Van Zandt.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
HBO's series Olive Kitteridge with Frances McDormand, which is excellent.
Brilliant miniseries. Brilliant miniseries.
We should talk about that. But let's start with this topic. What happened on election night? MSNBC, CNN, ABC, CBS all got beat by Fox News. Fox News had a big night on election night.
Yeah, this is, you know, and by the way, it's amazing because this did quite a bit of traffic online, and I'm getting emails from, like, all kinds of people, and they're mad at me because Fox had a good night online.
And because you said their dominance needs to be taken seriously.
Yes, yes. Right? And that was the piece. Look, this is Zerwick. As the bearer of news, you consider whether it's bad or good from your point, your ideological point of view. My feeling, Dan, as a journalist, is this needs to be reported. I can remember the days when, and I was, this is not like when I was 4 years old. This is when I was younger and covering media. When on election night, you know, when ABC was dominant, it was, oh, we parsed it like the reviewing stand for May Day in the Soviet Union in the 60s. Who sat next to Peter Jennings? And, oh, why were they at this desk? They must be on their way out. The networks were so important in how they covered it. So now we've got a case where this cable channel, it just slaughtered CNN and MSNBC. They weren't even in a competition. I think it did four times what each of those places did. And that's both
6.6 million viewers. That's what we have here.
And 6. I think 1.9 maybe for CNN and maybe 1.6 for MSNBC. But
and the one last thing on that, the important Fox demographic, for Fox, the important demographic, viewers 25 to 54.
Yeah, they won in that. And Dan, that's amazing because everybody who doesn't like Fox wrote to me, you know, the only people that watch Fox are old white men. Like, that's a bad thing, you know? Like, this is
but
the,
it's actually not true.
It's not true. They got a younger demographic than these other guys, than everybody. ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, and MSNBC. So this is, to me, this is a big deal. Number one, that they won. This is sea change time in my lifetime. Also, Dan, if you just think back to 2008 when Obama won and when CNN did the goofy hologram where they beamed in.
Yeah.
CNN was the place to be election night. It was the cable channel, if nothing else, but it was the channel. To see them fall this far in 6 years is astonishing. And they had a lot of reporters because they have this infrastructure. They had reporters all over the country. What they don't have anymore is leadership. Nobody knew how to use them. Nobody knew how to deploy them. Nobody knew how to present them in a compelling way. So they do as poorly as MSNBC, which has become an absolute, I would say, I don't want to use social media language, disgrace or joke. But MSNBC, I can no longer come close to taking them seriously. And one of the problems is their point person is Al Sharpton. And they put Chuck Todd next to Al Sharpton and treat Al Sharpton, who's an activist, like he is as much a journalist as Chuck Todd, which is outrageous to me. And, you know, you've got this goofy thing, election night, Al Sharpton saying, well, you know, in Pennsylvania we're doing all right because we've got out the vote, you know. And you know, I looked it up. Al Sharpton led the vote out. Was one of the leaders on the ground.
He was involved in it. Yeah.
And then he's reviewing it on the show as
quasi-journalist. You've come close to predicting the demise of MSNBC.
And MSNBC, Dan, is in total freefall. It's just a matter of time until they fire management there and hire somebody new. Their audiences are non-existent. You know, there's a show on Sunday morning with Melissa Harris Perry, I think, is
yes, right.
Yeah. Howie Kurtz's show, which I sometimes appear on, but I also was on his show for 10 years on CNN all the time.
Now he's on Fox.
He's on Fox now. Last week he did 1.3 million viewers, and I think she did fewer than 200,000. I mean, that's a media review show he's doing.
Let's get back to election night.
And
the word coverage and news coverage.
Yes,
so I want to go over this with you.
Right.
All right, we're going to have a little talk today, you and me.
is never good.
Well, because I'm wondering, what do people want and expect from television? I want you to tell me, because I don't watch it very much, because I'm too busy, and I don't actually, I go to bed early. I don't actually have time to watch all these
channels?
I think...
Does Fox give people in terms of straight news? Our producer for this show now, Maureen Harvey, right. She produces Midday on Media. She gave me a list of the Fox lineup, Fox News lineup. Shepard Smith reporting. Now, I'm familiar with that show.
Right.
I actually watch that show
right.
because it seems like straight news to me.
Right. Very good.
The Five, which is in Glenn Beck's old time slot.
Yeah.
Eric Bolling, Greg Gutfield, Bob Beckel, and then Juan Williams shows up in there sometimes, and Dana Perino.
Right. Five people sitting around.
Five people
the table.
Talking,
yeah,
right?
Talking.
Okay. On the Record with Greta Van Susteren.
Yeah. Greta, yeah.
Okay. A host focused talk hour.
Correct? It is. Right? And Greta Van Susteren is a lawyer by training.
Right, right. She goes back to OJ trial.
Yeah, and I used to really think, I used to not like Greta. We're both from Wisconsin. It's funny because she's from the Joe McCarthy section of Wisconsin.
Wisconsin? Oh,
and
really?
I'm from the Democratic Liberal Union version.
But it's a talk show.
It's a talk
okay.
show.
Hannity. We know what that
Hannity
is. Sean
is
Hannity.
A joke, yeah.
The O'Reilly Factor. We know what that is.
Yes.
The Kelly File, Megyn Kelly.
Yeah, second highest rated show now. On.
Okay, what is that? Is it mostly
it's Megyn
a
Kelly.
Host-focused talk show?
It's
or?
More news. She does
more news
than anybody
right.
else.
Fox and Friends, that's the morning
oh,
show,
Oh, God,
right?
that's a, yeah, that's
Steve
a,
Doocy,
right.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Right. That's special, their morning show.
Okay,
yeah.
And Special Report with Brett Baer. Now,
that's
he
a,
was there.
That's a hard news. That's a, what you used to think of as Dan Rather and those kind of shows. That's a hard news,
okay.
except they have a segment where they do have discussion with Charles Krauthammer, often George Will, pretty high-level caliber guys. They're all conservative, but pretty, you know, two Pulitzer Prize winners sitting there.
Okay. But you would call it a news show?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely.
News slash talk show.
I would
mostly
call
news.
Mostly news.
Okay. So then you get it at MSNBC, all talk shows, all opinion, all coming from the left center, right?
That's my sense.
CNN, Anderson Cooper 360, host-focused news magazine,
right?
I think he does a lot of good work.
He Anderson does a lot Cooper. Of news, yes. Very good.
The Situation Room, that's Wolf.
Wolf.
And The Lead with Jake Tapper.
Jake Tapper I like. I'm a fan of Jake's.
So what I'm getting at here is I'm trying to parse out where the news is versus where is just people sitting around talking and philosophizing and providing us with their ideology from the right or the left.
Yeah.
And if you take ABC, CBS, and NBC out of this,
but you only get a half hour with them.
Where's the news? Where's the news? So we're down to Shepard Smith, Brett Baer. You said Megyn Kelly.
A little bit, yeah.
And then the news is over at CNN. Then you would say most of those shows are weighted toward news.
Oh, sure.
News coverage, news and analysis.
Totally agree. Yeah.
I just wanted to go over that. Thank you for going over that with me because I'm wondering what do people want.
No,
if you're going to Fox, you're mostly getting opinion throughout the broadcast day, the telecast, cablecast day.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you're getting a lot of opinion. You're certainly getting it with the morning show. All of these shows do have a news component. I mean, they'll give you a 5-minute block of news at the start of the half hour, if nothing else. Some of them have more of it. You know, Sean Hannity, I don't think there's a news element in that show at all.
No.
Sean Hannity is as close to, not as close, he's a hardcore ideologue.
Right.
I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's
And Bill Riley right next to him.
O'Reilly's interesting. You know, I'll say something that people won't like. Bill O'Reilly is to nighttime cable TV what Johnny Carson was to late night TV. He is an absolute master of this goofy genre of combination talk, a little bit this, a little bit that. He is so easy. It's like it's in his genes. I've been on with him. When I wrote something once saying, it was a reporter on his show and he singled him out for great work. And I said something like, if Bill Riley thinks that guy's a reporter, he's only on Bizarro Planet is that guy a good reporter. And the next night, O'Reilly did a whole segment with a picture of me looking horrible, you know, a distorted picture and said, you know, Zerwick said this reporter from Fox is on Bizarro Planet. You know how he knows that? Because Zerwick lives on Bizarro Planet. I even started laughing. Here's a guy with three million viewers. He's going to pound me for 5 minutes. And I'm laughing. That's how good he is at what he does.
All right. So my question about what the viewers want, viewers chose Fox on election night, and that's just not a one-night stand. This trend is continuing.
Yeah, it is. And I'll tell you what, as far as I could tell, and I think I wrote about, I was watching it from like 6 p.m. to I went to bed at 5:30 a.m. that morning, but So I spent a lot of time with this coverage. The two channels that were giving you real election returns that were theirs, that set up an operation to get data, had exit poll data and all that, were CNN and Fox. And now possibly MSNBC may have been using something from NBC, but I don't think NBC committed to it because they didn't want to spend the money. Everybody else, to my mind, looked to be faking it. And the most egregious were Halperin and Heilman, the two guys who wrote Game Change, who are now Bloomberg invested a whole bunch of money in them. They thought they could anchor election night. They were terrible. But they kept saying things like, we've just confirmed, you know, South Dakota. And I thought, you're not confirming anything. And as I tracked it, they were going off CNN and AP. And I didn't pay attention to them until they went after Fox for calling Colorado for the guy who wasn't Udall. I can't remember which one it was.
Oh, thank you.
In the Senate race.
Not Baker, is it? I'm sorry.
Anyway, it'll pop up. And then they went to five different people, all of them who worked in the Obama White House, and each of them said, this is Fox destroying democracy. I mean, it was you. And this went on, Dan, for 13 minutes. Do you know what happened on the 14th minute?
No.
They confirmed Fox's call for the guy.
Yes, called Colorado for the Republican. Okay, so is Fox spending money on coverage? Is that what you're saying?
They're actually investing in
the news.
They got money
coverage.
And they're spending it, yeah. And so, as far as I know, yes.
My other big question for our listeners, because we have to take a break here. David Zerowicz with me for Midday on Media is, you know, we keep hearing that 7 out of 10 Americans, almost 8 out of 10 Americans, get all their news from television. Is that true? Because of the internet, because of social media, I just don't believe in it. I think people are actually reading more than we believe. I don't believe people are stuck at home just getting all their information from television all the time. I think that more people using multiple sources today.
Dan, so, you know what I believe? A lot of social science research is prejudiced by this perception. You know, you can be the greatest researcher in the world, but if you go in with a stereotype or a picture in your mind, you'll find it. And I think a lot of them want to believe there's this nation of sheep out there. You know what I'm saying? And since 1948, the television has been this Pied Piper that does all the evil stuff in the world to them. Blame it. Your cat's sick. Blame it on TV, you know? And I think they find this. Listen, if you can find me 8 people out of 10 who get all their information from TV, I will drop dead right here.
Really? Because, okay. That's what I believe. Course, I mean, I believe that. I just like to hear some confirmation.
Dan, nobody gets all their information from one source. They talk to a neighbor, if nothing else. They ask the FedEx guy, hey, did you hear about
410-662-8780. Another question. Fox News, right?
Yes.
So given these ratings, we would assume people in our listening audience have gone over to Fox News. At least they went over on election night. Would you assume that's possible?
I don't know. I'd like them to tell me.
The numbers seem to indicate that, right?
Yeah, the numbers are really good. But
So have you gone over to the dark side? I mean, have you gone over to Fox? 410-662-8780. Our midday email address is midday@wypr.org. Gardner is the name of the
Gardner, thank you.
Republican candidate in Colorado. Cory Gardner?
That's what I wanted to say, but I thought that was the second baseman for the Rockies. I think that's it.
What's your name? Oh, Zerowicz. Yeah. David Zerowicz of the Baltimore Sun. It's Midday on Media. We'll be right back. I agree with Mr. Zerowicz that Fox News should be taken seriously, writes Mary Beth on our Facebook page. Mr. Obama certainly deserves objective criticism, and he also gets it from MSNBC on a regular basis.
I think she means he doesn't get it on a regular basis. Does it? Yeah?
He says also gets it from MSNBC.
Well, see, that's cognitive dissonance. It doesn't agree with what I think, so I want to dismiss it as a typo. No,
I don't hear.
No, God, no. Are you kidding me?
Too much of that. Although Chris Matthews will occasionally blow his top a little bit over the sort of incompetence in the messaging that comes out of the White House.
How can you understand what Matthews is saying anymore? He's like gone so, his stream of consciousness madness is so insane. I can't, I don't, you know, election night he said, you know, I love these incumbents. And about 2 minutes later he said, I love the underdog who's coming. And I said, which one do you love? To myself, I had it. I didn't write about it. I read it in my notes. Which one do you love, Chris?
How'd you like to be a guest with him?
Oh, anyway, I wouldn't do it.
You get a gig there.
Yeah,
you
I
only
do it.
Well, you'd only have to give about 10 words, 12 words. You know, that's all you'd be able to do.
Yeah, but you're a prop for his ideology.
So
you know?
Anyway, I just wonder, you know, people are moving to Fox for news coverage. So, and,
well,
and what were you hearing back? You said you got a lot of flack for this, for pointing this out.
Yeah.
People were saying, well, no, it can't possibly be. What do you mean? I mean,
the ratings are
the ratings, right?
I got a lot of flack. I also got a lot of people who were, and the people who were, oh, yeah, hell yes, were people who said, basically, attributed it to their coverage of Obama's administration. They were, they and many of them said, I voted for him the first time.
Okay, so it might reflect a 44% approval rating of the president. So what do? So you turn to the channel that's going to beat up on the guy?
If you feel that if you feel that other channels are letting the administration get away with spin and not challenging
it. Why? Because they don't talk about impeaching the president every 5 minutes?
No.
I mean, some of these shows on Fox, that subject comes up frequently.
It doesn't come up in the news hour with Bret Baier, for example. And to question this president is not to talk about impeachment. It's about to talk about things like, you want to keep your doctor? You can keep your doctor.
Oh, I agree with that. But
you know,
I mean, I hear this extreme stuff too. Come on.
And the other thing is Fox was one of the first, and I know because in 2009, I was lumped in with this, was one of the first to say, hey, this guy doesn't like the press. This is Richard Nixon, folks. And in 2009, everyone from the New York Times, oh, no, he's a constitutional lawyer. This is a so-called constitutional expert who is, I wonder if he's ever read the First Amendment, because the outrageous things they've done, and the journalists who are still in jeopardy because of what they've tried to do to him to persecute him. Fox took that on, and Fox took the heat on that. I mean, he tried to shut Fox down.
Right, I remember.
I mean,
we talked about it on the air here.
That's outrageous stuff, Dan. So I think people respect that at least, and they say, look, I want somebody to watch, even if I like the administration, even if I like, you know, even if I like the mayor's administration, I know I want the Baltimore Sun to be watchdogging her night and day, you know, because we know what goes on in city government.
No, I want watchdogging too, but I want it done in an objective way.
MSNBC.
I don't want it with people with an agenda who think, all right, most of our viewers are Republican or conservative, so we're going to give them constant criticism of Obama.
I think,
and we're going to give them a skewed portrait of the Affordable Care Act, for instance, or something like that.
You know what? I think we're
not going to show anything positive about the ACA. You know, I don't want that.
Well, we're talking, though, I think about two different things, and I won't disagree with you about Fox's motives. You know what I'm saying? I think maybe their motives are totally ideological. You know what I'm saying?
It is Roger Ailes.
Political. Yep, yeah. Well, you know who was the first president of NPR? Mankiewicz.
Frank Mankiewicz. Yeah,
he was a political operative. So, you know, I mean, just fair is fair. I would never start to argue with you about the ideological intentions of Fox News. I wouldn't defend them. I mean, there's too many examples of what they're up to otherwise, okay? But this time, their ideology happens to match up with doing the journalistic duty that they're supposed to do that others didn't do.
Okay, well, I'll check it out. I'll check it out more often than I'll at least check it out.
At least? You're mocking me, Bret Baier.
No, I will, because I actually watched Shepard Smith. The timing works out for me. Actually, I think Shepard Smith is on when on the other channels it's all talking heads arguing ideology.
Totally.
And actually,
Brad
in Columbia will take your call. Thank you for calling Midday, Brad. Go right ahead.
Hi. Hey, great to hear you guys. I heard Fox News and had to type in.
Go.
Basically,
go ahead.
My issue is basically the Daily Show and what Jon Stewart has said about Fox News is usually in 99.9% on the money. They cover 18% of the news. Sean Hannity is a complete and utter tool. And they're a right-wing conservative propaganda and fear-mongering group. I don't see them as a news organization. So that's how I view Fox News, and I'll take the answers off the air unless you have questions.
So on election night, most people chose that.
Yeah. Think of that. That was the point of my post yesterday. I said, and I think in the second graph, you know, whether this delights you or appalls you, we have to start thinking about this. We had to have a discussion, which we're having here. Thank you very much for that. I totally agree. The one thing I would say about Jon Stewart, brilliant as he is, and I got into this at one point where I can't remember what it was, but I called Stewart out on something, and then Stewart says, "I'm just a comedian. You can't expect me to be." And whenever he messes up in his role,
he says, "I'm just a comedian."
Yes,
right?
As media critic. When he messes up, then he says he's just a. So if he doesn't have that kind of accountability, if that's his definition of accountability. You know, if I make a mistake, you or I, we could take a pounding. The paper will say they made a mistake, and that's if we're lucky. We'll just get beat up publicly.
He gets to say, "I'm a comedian."
I'm a comedian. Yeah. I'm a tumbler. And then he goes in his little shtick. And when Jon Stewart accepts accountability for his media criticism, I will take it much seriously, as smart and as perceptive as I often think he is.
When people say, "I want straight news from television," unless they're watching PBS, the NewsHour, or maybe Wolf on CNN, or one of the network newscasts in the evening,
I would say PBS.
They're not getting it.
I would say PBS. No, I'm not. Here's what I would say about PBS. Gwen Ifill is the anchor, and she's the managing editor of that. She got access to Obama for her book.
Right.
I think their coverage is so skewed in favor of Obama, and that combination has always troubled me. I think public television, PBS, had an obligation to go over her head and deal with that and say, okay, this person has, maybe there is no conflict, maybe it's just a perceived conflict, but we shouldn't have the, can you imagine the managing editor of the New York Times or the editor of the New York Times having done a book with a president? Were you going to trust that coverage? Or a political reporter, the White House reporter?
You mean given special access?
Of course. And you know access is the whole ballgame.
Yeah. Beth wants to know, what do you think of Maryland Public Television's news shows? I get all my news from MPT and WYPR, says Beth.
And which shows does MPT produce?
Well, it's the Jeff Salkin show.
It's
on
a half
State
hour.
News, half hour. And then there's McNeil, not McNeil that, Era. I almost said McNeil Era.
Yeah.
The News Hour.
Right. That's not produced by them. That's from
WETA.
No, that's
PBS. Right.
Yeah. What do you think of Salkin's show?
When I get to see it, I think it's professionally done. It's not nice coverage of specific issues. They tackle issues mostly during the General Assembly sessions when I'm focused on it.
Well, and how about the coverage of the General Assembly and state government since their funding, so much of their funding comes from
the state?
And the governor has direct kind of authority.
I don't know. Have you noticed any influence?
I think it's a problem. I think they should deal with that in some way. They should be much more transparent about it. There's a lot of things they could cover. City government, I'm not sure there's a conflict there.
Mm-hmm.
Most public television operations in the nation are not funded by the state. Dan, I'm not saying anything bad about them except this. People who cover the hand that feeds them, it's almost impossible to cover it fairly and dispassionately. And you get a governor in there who can shut down your funding or make it difficult for you. Remember all the talk when Bob Ehrlich was sending somebody out there to check on the ideology of their shows, blah, blah, blah? The people at MPT, and this troubled me, a lot of people who call themselves journalists out there wouldn't talk about it. Wouldn't even talk about it off the record. I'm like, okay, so you're a journalist, huh? You're going to hide under your desk now when I call you up and ask to talk off the record. And you know you can trust me to keep it off the record because I've been doing this for 30 years and I've never blown a confidence of anybody.
Afraid for their jobs?
So then when they go cover that governor, you think they're doing a good job? I'm skeptical. That's all I'm saying.
opinion of Al Jazeera as a news organization, David, from Jennifer, a question.
I love that question. Jennifer, really.
Al Jazeera America.
Yeah, right? Yeah, if you search Zerwick and Al Jazeera America, you'll see I wrote a lot about this summer. Here's my bottom line take on this. I'm not going to sound like Bill Moyers, I'm deeply troubled. I'm angry about the way the major media companies in this country and people with a political axe to grind tried to keep Al Jazeera off of American television and succeeded for a long time. They finally had to pay way too much for Al Gore's current channel to get in American homes. Here's my bottom line. I believe the more sources of information that we have, the better we are served as a democracy. And I think that, and I believe that I was shown to be correct. Maybe others will disagree, but the coverage this year of Gaza, of Israel and Gaza, was, I saw images and I saw narratives and I saw pictures because Al Jazeera had reporters in Gaza instead of in Jerusalem only. They were reporting the story from Jerusalem and from Gaza. That, to me, is better journalism. Give me two points of view. Let me see the conflict from both sides. And because they were in Gaza with gripping, troubling images, NBC got its butts in there and did some really good journalism. Mohel Dayan is the guy's name. He was at Al Jazeera. Now he's at NBC. I can't think of his first name now. He was one reporter. And CNN got into Gaza and did some outstanding reporting. We had reporters there covering the human toll of bombs and rockets and planes raining down hellfire on a population. Now, I'm not going to the place where I say who's right and who's wrong in that, because the phones will never get anything else in here. But I want to say that as a citizen of the United States who's asked occasionally to make decisions on our Middle East policy in terms of votes and such, I want to know that. And I never knew it. I never had as much information as I did since Al Jazeera America's. Come on. I really think they're a welcome and a much needed addition to the American TV lineup.
Looking ahead here in the last segment of our hour with David Zerwick, Midday on Media, the two things for my audience, a question for you. Lilyhammer, have you seen that? This is a drama comedy on Netflix starring Steve Van Zandt, of course, from the E Street Band of Bruce Springsteen, as a mobster who relocates to Norway as part of the Witness Protection Program. Have you seen it? What do you think of it? We'd like to hear from you. I'd like to compare notes with any of us, our listeners, who have seen that program. And also, Olive Kittredge, or Kittredge.
Kittredge, yeah.
Kittredge. This HBO miniseries with Frances McDormand.
Brilliant.
Has anyone? Yeah, I know. I think it's great.
Brilliant.
I would like to hear from our listeners on that. So here's the phone number to call. And give us a ring after the break, because we will be discussing that. And also the Bill Cosby situation. 410-662-8780. Toll-free long distance. Good from anywhere in the country. Maybe even Norway. 866-661-9309. And our email address is midday@wypr.org. Deal with Bill Cosby. David Zerwick is here from The Sun, the media critic of The Sun. And these allegations about Bill Cosby, we've heard them before. He had to settle a case some years ago. Remember? This has come up before. So let's see. Just saw this on Twitter. Entertainment Weekly reporting that NBC has halted development of its Bill Cosby sitcom in the wake of mounting rape allegations against the legendary comedian. And then, David, the other Netflix story besides the Lilyhammer that we wanted to talk about was Netflix. The word postpone is being used here, or shelved or pulled. I haven't seen the word canceled. A comedy special that was set to be released after Thanksgiving starring Bill Cosby on his 77th birthday.
Well, that's the prudent thing to do. I mean, that's the absolute way in Networkville and now Onlineville and Cableville and all the TVville. It's the smart way to be. Look, if something happens, especially in the volatile world we now live in of internet and social media accusations, if something happens and he's cleared, they don't have to eat the $2 million they spent on this. They can air it now. So
right.
Don't say it's canceled. Just say it's postponed. It's under review. We're considering it. If I was running a news operation, I would try to avoid such definitive statements about anything. It would always be, well, it's under review. We're pulling it from the schedule. Let's think about this. And then I try to get the best minds I can and follow developments for a while to see what's going to happen. So I think I don't see anybody at this point right now wanting to have anything to do with Bill Cosby. Mm. I can't imagine anyone in media wanting to have anything to do with him right now. And, he's at his age, maybe it makes sense. But in today's media world, to say I'm not going to dignify that with a response is not really an answer that works anymore.
Yeah, well, that's what they're doing. And the story gained traction just last week, because yeah. a woman named Barbara Bowman wrote this opinion piece that Washington Post published.
Yes.
Bill Cosby raped me. Why did it take 30 years for people to believe my story? And since then, a couple other women have come forward with accusations against him. So, in some ways,
I don't even want to characterize it and say, oh, this is an unfortunate or a sad thing. You know, if he did it, it's not sad that it came out. It's great that it came out. You know, I'm sorry. So we don't know the facts, so it's tough to talk about.
Yeah.
But even if you he's got to do better right now than say, I'm not going to dignify that with a response.
Let's talk about some feature television, which we don't always get to do here.
Yes.
We spend a lot of time talking about news
yes.
coverage, which
yes.
is good, because
yes.
our audience is newsies, but
right.
they also watch feature television.
Right.
And I'm curious if anyone else, I'm sure other people have seen the Netflix series Lillehammer.
Yeah, I hope so.
This is what, it's third season
Third
now.
Season, it's starting Friday
and
night.
I just couldn't believe what I was watching the first time I watched this. What a premise for a show. And it's Norwegian produced, correct?
It's two Norwegian writers came up with the idea. They talked, Steve Van Zandt into doing it with them.
Who was in The Sopranos.
Who was in The Sopranos.
He played Silvio, right?
And this is, one of my taglines sort of on the piece I wrote.
What a face that guy has.
If Silvio Dante were undercover in Norway, this would be the guy. He wears the same clothes. He looks like him. It's great.
You remember when he decided he wanted to be in Lillehammer? You know, that place. Yeah. I saw it in the Olympics. It was nice.
In the 94 Olympics.
Yeah, right.
Fresh
because
air.
They had to protect him. He had witnessed a murder, right?
No, another boss tried to kill him.
Tried to kill him,
and,
that's right.
And
yeah,
they
yeah.
shot, they made a hit on him in a bar. They didn't get him, but they got his beloved West Highland Terrier,
oh,
Lily,
right,
which
right.
is part of the
right.
title.
Oh, that's
and so
right.
he was so mad, so angry that they and hurt All that right. they killed Lily, that he turned state evidence to send the boss away forever. Now he needs a witness protection program, and they say, where do you want to go, to the Bahamas? He says, no, Norway, Lillehem. And they said, and the feds are like, what?
Yeah.
And he's like, didn't you see the 94 Olympics?
Yeah.
Clean snow,
yeah.
fresh air,
right.
great broads. Yeah. I want to go there.
Well, anyway, so look, so he gets over there, and he's in this environment. This is like an exercise in multiculturalism.
Oh, exactly,
right?
That's
exactly he's
it.
Always adjusting to the Norwegians,
yes.
and they're trying to figure him out.
Yes.
And they're not really sure who he is or what his background is, right?
This is cradle to grave. Health insurance. I mean, it's everything, And so, like, his first stop is he's got to go to, like, the government social worker.
Right.
And the guy immediately, he tries to bribe the guy to get a liquor license for a nightclub.
Right.
And the guy's outraged.
That he's offering him cash
offering him
for a liquor license.
And then
right.
he says, you need to get a humbler attitude. You have an American and you have to be humbler. And the guy says, I'm putting you in a class 5 days a week, 6 months. Remedial citizenship.
Right.
And that's where he says, you mean...
I got to go to school to be an immigrant?
6 months to be an immigrant.
We have a clip from Lillehammer with Steve Van Zandt. So in this one, this is from the second season last year. One of his Norwegian neighbors, comes to him to ask for help.
I believe in Norway. I always said it's the best country in the world. But those damn politicians have set up a refuge camp close to my house.
That was 3 months ago. And I haven't slept since. The other afternoon, I went over to them to tell them a thing or two. I brought the dog. I was polite and all, but they refused to turn down the music. Now, Hector, han er sensitiv. Ja. Han ga seg til å... He started barking. And that was when one of them kicked him. Broke his jaw. I told the police, but they don't do nothing.
Why'd you go to the police? Why'd you come to me first?
That was before I knew what kind of man you are.
Good. Someday, and that day may never come, I will call upon you to shovel some snow. But until that day comes, accept this as a gift. On the weekend, my kids are baptized. We will look into your problem.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
It's hilarious.
Come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding. Same thing, right?
That's it.
Gee whiz.
And you know how he's going to solve that problem.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And, but it's so Norwegian. They set up a refugee camp close to his home.
Right.
It's good. They want to be multicultural. But
they
not...
play the loud music.
Yeah.
I go to the police. Why'd you go to the police? Why don't you come to me? I love this.
Yeah.
All right. Now, why is this the future of television?
Oh, because, A, it's Netflix, but it's more than that. It's global. You can't watch this without subtitles because they're doing different languages, you know? This show, we tend to focus on American and British TV. This show's in, like, 50 countries. It's all over the place. And, you know, they speak Norwegian. They speak English. And in the first two episodes of season three, they're in Brazil. They have a plot that takes them to Brazil. One of the guys in his crew meets a woman on the internet and goes to marry her in Brazil and gets in all kinds of bad trouble.
Has it already started?
It starts Friday night. It drops Friday night. You can see the whole 8 episodes for the season on Netflix.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And then they're speaking Portuguese because they're in Brazil.
Sure.
So you've got three languages going on. This is really global television. This is television marketed. But it's also really brilliant because of the way, for all its humor, the way it explores multiculturalism, you know? The notion that different cultures living together, but also the notion that your tribe is more important than any national tribe. And he's great. But constant intertextuality with references to The Godfather. Episode I saw I can't remember where it's from. I saw so many episodes when I wrote last week's column. But he's got Gary U.S. Bonds in his nightclub.
No.
He has a nightclub.
Really?
Yeah, he has a nightclub. I think it's the Flamingo. And Gary U.S. Bonds comes to perform. Well, Gary U.S. Bonds, Quarter to Three, is what the E Street Band played on their 70 tour as their encore song. And so the look that passes between the two of them, here he worships this icon of rock, but he's playing the gangster, bringing him into his club. And he's got a club like the Bada Bing.
Yeah.
You know, Silvio had the Bada Bing club.
Right, it's like, yeah.
He's got a club
like
that.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I have a question
for you. This idea of dropping 8 episodes.
Yeah.
I guess that's the Netflix formula,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
What do we think of that?
I like it. I like the on-demand stuff. But, you know, it's interesting. On radio now, we have this thing with Sarah Koenig called Serial, where they only let you have one episode
at
a week
and
they're knocking it out of the park.
Yeah.
So maybe we've gone too far in giving people what they want when they want it. But I really think that the model that Netflix is using, you know, anybody we know, Dan, they watch it when they want to watch it, and they watch it on.
Yeah.
So I love that model.
Yeah, I just wondering, actually, my question comes from the business side of it. As a viewer,
it works.
That it's all there. Now, Olive Kitteridge, this series is on HBO. Now, that's only one at a time, right?
Yeah, it's one at a time, traditional kind of miniseries. I think they had a total of 4 hours only. I think it was two nights. Brilliant work.
What a great character Olive Kitteridge is, played by Frances McDormand. She is a no-nonsense, kind of mean, but very, very interesting character. And she does this so well.
Dan, we do not see these kind of characters on American television. She, you know, I said she's sort of the Puritan, the soul of Puritan New England living in modern day America, and there's a fierce morality to her. Oh, she's also bad. She slaps like a 4-year-old kid who annoys her, but really an out. That's the performance of the year so far, Frances
This
McDormand.
Is the scene with Bill Murray.
Listen to this? Oh, yeah, great.
This is when Olive comes upon a man who's on the ground in the woods. It's Bill Murray. So listen to this.
Oh, brilliant.
Are you dead?
Apparently not.
Have you been stabbed or shot?
No. Not that I know of.
Is it your heart, do you think?
It could be.
Can you move?
I don't know. I haven't tried yet.
Well, try. Move this one. All right, try it on. I don't have one of those cell phones, you?
Yes. I didn't bring it.
Well, I'm gonna have to go back to my car and drive for help.
No, thank you. Please don't leave me alone here.
All right. Can you sit up?
I don't know.
Well, let's try. Here. Well, you gotta help. I can't handle you on my own. You're too big.
I'm up.
Your color's a little better. How this happened, do you think?
I was walking. And I started feeling dizzy. And then I sat down on this bench, and the next thing, I'm lying on the ground, and there's a woman squawking, "Are you dead?"
Well, you seem less dead every minute.
Get used to it.
I must say, this is Olive at her tenderest.
Yes, and yes, and these are two people who are really clinically depressed. It's about depression in families, and you never, TV does not like to talk about depression. They want you to be happy and get you out to the mall and buy a new washer. I just love it. This is also a woman unlike many of the models women are offered on TV. There's nothing glossy, nothing glitzy about her. She's not made up. She's not, you know, I'm going to stop there before I say.
Her relationship with her husband's really interesting.
Yes, fascinating.
She's a wife. She's a mother. And she teaches, right?
Yeah.
And she's a math teacher in this
middle school.
Little town in Maine.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a performance by Frances McDormand. I mean,
it's unbelievable.
She's terrific.
And this is unlike American television, man. You want to see this. You're one of the people who says, oh, American television. No, go watch this and then tell me about American television. This is HBO bringing something you haven't seen.
Hey, have you ever written about Getting On? The other HBO series about the nurses?
Yeah, it's coming back. It's coming back in a couple weeks.
The season has started again. I just wondered whether you'd ever written about it.
I have not yet written about it, no.
You should bring that to your attention.
Yeah.
I don't hear many people talking about it, and I've watched some of it and have enjoyed it.
And some HBO series leave me a little cold sometimes. And so I don't want to trash the series because I only saw one episode of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to do, you know, I don't want to rip it up. And I watched
it
last
year. You
should
watch a little more,
when
David.
When it debuted, yeah.
Yeah.
If I watched a little more of every episode, Dan, they would find me laying in the woods.
You know,
and a person would have to ask me if
I'm dead. Are you dead? You got a cell phone?
I see that Roderick standing there squawking at me.
You know, Richard Gorelick, he goes to a restaurant at least twice before he reviews it. So you got to see more than one episode,
right? That would be,
right?
That's a good formula.
He might go at least three times.
I think there might be a few more TV shows than restaurants in Baltimore.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know about that. Anyway, David, hey, we got to go.
See you later,
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
See you downtown. See you tomorrow, folks.
Midday's senior producer is Nikki Gamer. The producer is Maureen Harvey. The associate producer is Michael Hemowitz. Our interns are Carrie DeSantis, David Richman, and Marjorie Goodman. Midday's engineers are Matt Taka and Luke Spicknell. Music produced by Jeff Truman and High Gravity Sounds. Midday podcast and live streaming is available at WYPR.org. Dan Roderick's column appears in the Baltimore Sun. This is WYPR, your NPR news station.